From scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week's episode we're going to just discuss a couple of books each that we've enjoyed reading this year and would recommend to listeners. So, I'll kick off, shall I?
Yes, go on.
In my hand, I have a 600-page book, because I still read paper books, and it's called Neurotribes by Steve Silberman. And it's all about autism, the history of autism. And I really, really enjoyed it. It's 500 pages, but I found it a real page-turner because it's just a history of something that I really didn't know at all. And not only did I learn an awful lot and understand how the world has viewed autism and how it's tried to help people with autism, but it's then picked it all apart to say that actually you've got the whole thing wrong. And he's brought it right up to date, Steve Silberman, and shockingly, it's very recent history in terms of how badly people have been treated who might be on the autistic spectrum. And I just thought it was a very interesting history, but fundamentally it's made me think very differently about people who might have things like autism, because effectively these are people who have got super special skills in areas that I would never have. And we've had a history of basically locking people up for this, and these are our fellow humans. I think it's a really good book in terms of showing us what our humanity should be like.
And not just good for people who've got an autistic child or they're a bit on the spectrum. It's good for everybody, isn't it? It's really understanding the way human beings are configured, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. It's basically having some understanding of how we all are. But it's shocking in recent history that how we've treated people who we should never, ever have been treating people in the way that we have been. The medical profession... and there's been a lot of confusion about, you know, what treatment you might have. But in actual fact, it's just it's not about that. It's about understanding this term neurodiversity, that in actual fact, we are all made up differently and we have different skills. And I just think it's worth reading for that alone, just to think about fellow humans in a far more positive, open way.
Yes. And that links really to my first book. I'm reading it on my iPad, so there's a good contrast. And the book that I recommend is called Originals by Adam Grant. Mm-hmm. And Adam Grant's first book was Give and Take. And that's a very interesting book too. But Originals, he's a Wharton professor, so I know Adam Grant, I've met him. And it's basically a celebration of difference. It's saying that nonconformists change the world. And that if we encourage nonconformity in our children, if we celebrate diversity at work and a difference of opinion, a difference of view, then the world changes and organizations change for the better, for the most part. So it's a very interesting book with some great case studies and a really sort of passionate introduction by Sheryl Sandberg, who's saying that we need to shatter these very deeply held beliefs about that what makes the world work, and the world works by conforming, basically. And he's saying, no, actually the world works by being original and by original thinkers. So I really like the book, and it's very easy to read, and there's masses of case studies. But it's one of those books where you've kind of, it's rather like Gladwell's books. Once you've read three chapters, you kind of got it, and then the rest is it expounds it. So you could be naughty and just read the first three or four chapters, and you'd get a lot from that. What's your second one?
The same applies to the book that I'm about to recommend as well. So you could dip in and out of this particular book and pick up some really useful thinking, but also you could probably just read three or four chapters and you probably have enough to have maybe influence your thinking and change the way you do things. So this book is called The Numbers Game: Why Everything You Know About Football Is Wrong. So the context here is that my middle son is in Bath City Youth Under 10 football team, and I am a coach. Now, I'm not a trained coach yet because I haven't done my FA badge, which you're supposed to do. But I am really interested in how I can develop my ability and skills, you know, as a coach, as a football coach. So this is a strange route. It's one of those books that's actually, it's all about big data. You know, all Premiership games are analysed to the minutest of detail about passes, how much time players spend on the ball. And so they've been doing collecting this data for years.
There's data scientists. I think it's in Manchester United got eight data
So
scientists.
all Premiership teams have, you know,
Have data scientists.
data science teams. So this is all about big data, actually. And what's interesting about it is it really challenges, it either confirms what you know to be true, or it, I think, massively challenges what you do habitually. And I'll give you an example of the challenge is that in football, if you're a football fan, and I know you are, Nigel,
Yeah, Martin.
when there's a corner, there's immense excitement always from the fans who think there's going to be a goal, but only one in 10 corners leads to a goal. So statistically, there really shouldn't be much excitement. But interestingly, the impact of that is that how do you think we coach? You know, how do children get coached when it comes to corners? You know, we don't really do that yet at this age. But when it, as soon as one of the kids has got the ball and it's a corner, they know what they're going to do, and they're going to hoof it into the box, right? Now, the data tells us that that's the last thing you would do. There are plenty of other options you could do, which would give you a much higher chance of scoring a goal from a corner kick. But
Fascinating.
we don't do it.
No.
So it's challenged my thinking. But the
Neither
thing,
do they in the Premier League.
no.
90% of corners go whack straight into the
Yeah,
box.
but that's just one tiny example. But the book's full of these kind of examples that people would say, oh, it's a statement of the obvious. But in actual fact, it's just challenging. It's
Yeah.
using data to challenge current thinking.
Yes.
And I think it's a really good example of how big data can be relevant to kind of fairly routine things like a bit of football coaching of a children's football team.
Totally
So
agree.
I found it really interesting, and it kind of informs my thinking around how we might do things on the pitch. So it has a direct result.
Excellent. Very interesting. My second book is slightly left field in terms of what you might think I choose. I've chosen The End of Alchemy by Mervyn King. Mervyn King was the former governor of the Bank of England. And what I like about it is it is not Mervyn King's memoirs as governor of the Bank of England, which will probably be extraordinarily tedious. What he's done is charted what he says is the transformation of finance and society. And that's why it's called The End of Alchemy. He thinks that the alchemy was when people working in the finance sector thought they could make money out of nothing just by repackaging debt and all that kind of stuff. And he's saying we're now beyond alchemy. And he talks about, you know, we all know about VUCA, which is volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. He talks about, I call it VERUCA. He talks about radical uncertainty. It's not uncertainty anymore. Uncertain is when there are a number of options and you can work on what they might be. Radical uncertainty is when you can't predict the options. You have no way of creating scenarios that can predict anything. So he's saying this requires us to re-examine the way we strategize and re-examine the nature of the world that we're in. So it's a really interesting book. Obviously, the basic unit of analysis is financial, but he ranges freely on philosophy and society and other things. It really made me respect him an awful lot more than I might have done before I read it. And I found it really compelling. It's extraordinary. I don't think I'd ever have imagined that a book by a former governor of the Bank of England would be a kind of page turner. I found it very difficult to put down. I loved it. And you can read it for the minute detail, but you can also go quickly through it, just getting that big wide view that he was privileged to have. And he was the guy, you know, who took took the country through the 2008 financial crisis. So in some ways, we owe him a debt of gratitude for the work that he did, and the fact that he, you know, he didn't lose his nerve, and that he had very good relations with the US Federal Reserve. And, you know, we're still here to tell the tale. So, good book, The End of Alchemy by Mervyn King.
So, should we leave it there? We've been talking for over 10 minutes, and we normally try and limit ourselves, don't we?
Yes, we probably should. So, four books to read. Let's recap. My two are The End of Alchemy by Mervyn King and Originals by Adam Grant. Your two, Martin?
Are Neurotribes by Steve Silberman and The Numbers Game by Chris Anderson and David Sully. And I don't think, I'm slightly concerned that we're two blokes and we've just reviewed four books by blokes. That wasn't by design, but I think they're four great books. So
they are four great books.
Still worthy of attention, yeah?
Yes, indeed. I think so.
Great. Okay, then. That's all for this week. From Scratch.